Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey, Dualism, Part 3.
Today I'm going to wrap up my thoughts on the dualistic life by looking at the life of love Jesus commands us to live. In Part 1, we define dualism and its sources. In Part 2, we took a closer look at how dualism shows up in our attitudes and interactions with others. If you haven't listened to those yet, you might want to do so. So back to our circle that we described in Part 2, we want to begin erasing the lines that block us from having relationships with certain groups or individuals. We want to enlarge our world and increase our willingness to reach out to anyone with whom God asks us to, even when they are outside our group, and then go even beyond that by not defining anyone as outside our group and instead see every person as a creation of God just like us. We need a new mindset. The expression of our faith and Christian purpose is not to monitor and police people in the way they think and act. This judgmental attitude sets us up against God. Our purpose is to love people in their messiness. Dualism isn't helping God or siding with Him. Instead, it reflects everything God hates. A God of love is what He wants us to reflect in our interactions and attitudes with others. If we want our love to expand, our soul to expand, our ministry to expand, then we need to find ways to be kind and accepting of those who are outside our group. 1 John 4:18-19 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." If we live in love, we have nothing to fear. Love will automatically take care of our problem. Back to my opening question in Part 1, what is the goal of the Christian life? To be like Christ. To live the way Jesus lived. Did he exclude people? Jesus was the model of the non-dualistic life. No fences there. That's why he frustrated the Pharisees all the time. He was forever going outside the acceptable group. He had the nerve to not only go to Samaria, but he hung out with the Samaritans. He talked with them and ministered to them. Jesus didn't exclude anyone except the Pharisees, and that was only true because they rejected him. If someone rejects us, there's nothing we can do. They won't receive any love or kindness we try to extend to them. But as soon as Nicodemus, a Pharisee, wanted to connect with Jesus, he was there in a heartbeat. He ate with tax collectors and socialized with sinners. Some of his best friends were prostitutes. His disciples were working class, men who got their hands dirty making a living. He even reached out to lepers. Jesus broke all the rules. His circle was large and intact, no boundaries. No people who were not my group. Everyone was considered his people unless they chose otherwise. And even if they did, all they had to do was come back and he would receive them. Jesus was love. Want to know what it means to love one another? Look at Jesus. Read the Gospels. See how he thought and spoke and acted. And remember, dualism comes from a heart of flesh. If we're split, the problem is our heart. Our thoughts, words, attitudes, actions all come from whatever is in our heart, from the condition of our heart. Until we receive that heart transplant, receive that heart of flesh, we won't be able to even begin operating out of love. Fear will rule the day. If we're going to erase those lines on our circle, if we're going to tear down the fences and barriers, then we need to see the world as one, to see people as all one kind, human beings. All human beings have the same needs for love, security, acceptance, respect, significance, appreciation. No exceptions. Instead of hearing different languages, hear voices crying out to get the same needs met that we have. Instead of seeing different beliefs or colors or perspectives, see people created in love by God. Instead of seeing someone who hurt you, see someone who needs you to accept them. There are certainly a few truly evil people in the world committing despicable acts, but don't hate everyone who might look, speak, or believe like them. See the choice of an individual as simply that, the choice of one person, not representative of the whole. I hate it when someone makes hateful judgments about Christians. I hate hearing Christians are narrow-minded, judgmental, bigoted, homophobes, etc. By saying that, they are accusing me of being like that, and I am not. They've judged me by saying that because I'm a Christian. That's not fair. So if I don't like being prejudged, then why do I do it to others? For the most part, everyone on earth is just doing their best to live their life and make it through each day. For the most part, people have the same concerns and issues in their life as I do. We are far more alike than we are different. That said, it is also true there are no two humans exactly alike. It's inherent in being a human being that we are unique. I have a friend, Nancy, who attends the same church I do. Nancy and I have similarities. We're of a similar age, both women, married, kids, grandkids, Christians, and we are both authors, teachers, and speakers. It's no wonder I frequently get called Nancy, and she tells me people often call her Cindy. We laugh about it. Even so, we're not exactly the same. Her ministry is more in the direction of seniors as well as young moms she mentors. Mine is geared more toward biblical healing. We have some different beliefs. We've even talked about that. Yet mutual respect and love for Jesus supersedes our differences, and the result is a soul-satisfying friendship. You won't find anyone exactly like you. Apparently, for all of us, God thought one was enough. So anyone you interact with anytime, anywhere, is going to think, believe, and act differently in some way. When the differences become apparent, accept them, don't reject them. Build a relationship instead of a fence. Include rather than exclude. And whatever you do, don't judge them. That's God's job, not yours. Let it be. Find the commonalities. I promise you they exceed the differences. You just have to look with eyes of love and acceptance in order to find them. I have another quote from Richard Rohr. Love, in its mature form, always creates some level of equality and mutuality between giver and receiver. See every person as an equal. Dualism separates people, seeing different groups. Love includes all people. If you must create a group, just create one and call it the human race. Encompass the world as those who are valued by God. Instead of letting fear limit you, let God's love expand your sphere of influence. The way to decrease our fear is to stop feeding it. When it rises up, instead of responding to it and letting it control you, push through it. Choose to embrace those who are different by trusting God to provide the love you need. 1 John 4:16 says, NIV, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." God is like a 24-hour convenience store. He's always open. So if we need a little more love because ours has run out, He will give us more. His Holy Spirit will pour the love of God into our heart whenever we start to run dry. It is not our love we rely on. It's His love. If we can't find love for someone or some group of people, it's because we are not allowing God to give us love for them. It's that simple, because He has plenty. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 NIV says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. When we love others, we treat them in honoring ways, not dishonoring someone or discounting them. We're kind and patient, not always trying to promote our agenda. When we live like Christ, we seek to eliminate thoughts and words that indicate we see ourselves as superior, or words that might lead to others feeling excluded. Not every person or situation is ours to deal with. We have to let God show us where He wants us to go and with whom He wants us to reach out. That said, when we love, we care. Instead of turning away, we do something. We try to help, but not in a way that seeks to control people or outcomes in their life. We simply seek to reflect the love of Christ by being caring, generous, and helpful when we can. So that's a little about what it looks like to love people. Let's wrap up with some thoughts about how we can change our divided mind. We can say we should be better at loving others all day long, but it's not that simple. Change is hard. Remember, we're talking about a heart condition here. The problem of dualism comes from a heart of stone. So if we're going to live non-dualistically, if we're going to learn to love people instead, then the changes must happen in our heart. And this is God's department. He has to do this work. So let us begin by asking God for an undivided heart. Psalm 86:11 is a great verse to pray. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Let's ask for an undivided heart. God loves giving us what we ask for, particularly when we ask for things that are His will for everyone. When I began to get a clue that my own heart was split, that I was living dualistically, I knew I needed help. So I began praying a verse out of Zechariah 7:10. The 84 NIV says, in your hearts, do not think evil of each other. And if you think this quickly took care of the problem, it did not. After a couple years of praying this every single week, of confessing my latest screw-up with judging someone or spewing unloving words, I finally noticed a little progress. I could only commit myself to pursuing this and not giving up until the split in my heart began to heal, and I started seeing everyone as someone to be included, not excluded. In order to stop thinking bad thoughts about certain groups or individuals, I had to recognize those thoughts and take them to God. I did that for a long time before it began to change. I'm sorry, God, but here I am again with the same thing, asking you to forgive me. When will I stop having evil thoughts? Please help me get past this. It's finally shifting. Thank you, Lord. Dualism is a sin. I had to learn that. Then I had to recognize it when it was showing up in me. And then I had to confess it and receive forgiveness. Acknowledging my own sin and all this helped me be more loving in of itself. It brought humility. We have to let God humble us. It's the humble who see the world as one group and view humanity with solidarity. We are all simultaneously saint and sinner. Remembering that will help us stay humble. If we are going to live this way, we have to answer this question, are we one or are we two? God says we are one. Viewing humanity as one is a choice we make. It's a choice to view everyone as being part of our group. And if you find yourself thinking, but they are this and that, they are so dot, 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 they think this and they did that, then remember to tell yourself you are no better. Humans are like batteries. We all have a positive side and a negative one. No one, me included, you included, is all good or all bad. Therefore, if we want there to be any hope of making a positive impact in this world, of loving like Jesus, of living non-dualistically, we need to learn to accept the negative in people without dismissing them. We are not the judge. God is. Within all people lies brokenness, variation, and ambiguity. That's just being human. Will we choose to bear the inconsistencies in love anyway? This is a choice. If we will bear the ambiguity and sin in people, we can then begin to make our group bigger. In closing, I want to read Romans 15, verses 5 to 7. The NIV says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." God will encourage us in this endeavor and give us endurance to continue on. He will give us the same attitude of mind that Jesus had, an attitude that brings praise and glory to God when we learn to accept one another, even those who are different. Change is hard work. Will we work at it and not give up? If we will, God will heal the split in our heart. Through the power of Christ, we can offer forgiveness liberally and in all situations. All scripture is from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org. To learn more about our ministry, please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.